One of the things that I get concerned about, to be honest with you, is when, well, let me put it to you this way. Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter, Christmas come to once a year, correct? And as they come once a year, one of the things I get concerned about is that we in the church grow too accustomed to the holidays. And what I mean by that is they become familiar, and we may not appreciate all the significance that may be there. You ever been around Christmas time or birthday time for young children? They get like tons of toys, right? And they'll open it, you know, they'll rip open the package, get the toy out, and depending on their age, they'll either like the toy or sometimes become more fascinated with the box, right? And they don't quite understand some toys sometimes, so mom and dad put them away for another day, and then maybe 6 months, a year down the road, they'll take the toys out again, and they're like, what, brand new? And they finally can appreciate it. Well, sometimes when we get into the rut of it's Easter or it's Good Friday or Palm Sunday or Christmas, excuse me, we can start to lose some of the significance if we don't take time to step back. Jared kindly read you the passage from John 12. I'm going to just go over a few things with you here today. And I got this press release this morning. See, it says press release. You see that? This is from the Jerusalem News Network. It's dated April 3rd in the year 33. Did you catch that? April 3rd in the year... Oh, thanks, Jared. Appreciate it. April 3rd in the year 33. Breaking news. Reports of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is now causing much controversy between citizens of Jerusalem and the religious establishment. Some people feel that Jesus is some type of sensationalist since he allegedly brought a man back to life. Others feel that there is something really special about him. Meanwhile, the Pharisees are reportedly very agitated about what Jesus has taught and the miracles he performed. In political and economic news, the Roman government is still charging the people of Israel the highest taxes ever. Most families are living day to day and struggling. This is causing an underground outcry for many Israelites to rebel and overthrow the oppressive Roman government. Although these tough political and economic times have taken a toll, the Hebrews are still expecting their Messiah to come as a warrior and defeat the oppressive Roman government and all of their other enemies. Of course, there was no Jerusalem Network News back then, but isn't it surprising how word got around so fast about Jesus? And for some good reasons and for some not good reasons, I want you to notice three things today in this passage. First of all, to take a look of John's account of Palm Sunday, I want to see if we can gain a greater appreciation for the day. So there's a couple of observations I want to go over with you. The first observation is there were three main reasons why people followed Christ. First one's kind of obvious. There was a crowd that followed Jesus to see what spectacular miracle he would do next. I have a feeling this would be the most popular today. Because we want to be wowed, right? You see the commercials with the wow factor. Marilyn and I, sometimes when we want to go brain dead, we'll watch a show on TLC called Say Yes to the Dress. It's about brides buying bridal gowns. Blows my mind, by the way. I mean, it's just like unreal. But every bride wants to say, I want a gown that gives you the wow factor. I don't know what that is. You know, maybe you do. I don't know what that is. However, I do know this, that we still live in a day and age where we're looking to see spectacular things. Excuse me one second. But there's a problem with that. The problem is that when we look for the spectacular, sometimes we miss what's really in front of us. Let me just give you an example. I'm going to show my age here, so forgive me, okay? Years ago, when there was a singer that came on stage, we appreciated that singer for their voice. Isn't that correct? Now when a singer comes on stage, they can have a horrible voice, but if their pyrotechnics are good and all the effects are good and the lighting's good, we think, wow! But there's no substance. And this crowd was looking for the wow. They were looking to be so impressed. They just wanted to see Jesus do something to wow them. We need to be wowed and overwhelmed by the love of God that he showed for us through Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. That should be enough to wow us. I have to ask the question, why isn't it? Every day when we wake up, we should think, who was I that Jesus should die for me? I didn't deserve that he would pay the penalty for my sin on the cross. Who was I? There was also a crowd that was genuinely curious about Jesus and who he was. The disciples are in this group, but they still didn't quite connect all the dots. We see that from the passage. And it says that many were expecting a militant Messiah. Isn't that right? A Messiah that was going to come on a white horse, not a donkey, on a white horse to defeat all of Israel's enemies. Reminds me of an election in this country. Forgive me. And yet Jesus chose to come in riding on a donkey as a king of peace. Not a warrior, a king of peace. The disciples just missed it. They couldn't connect it yet. And this crowd who was genuinely curious couldn't connect it. And the reason is our rebellion and sin against God. We declared war on God, whether we realize it or not. That's what sin does. And that kind of blinds us to all of this. And then there are those who were following Jesus to kill him. The Pharisees. The religious leaders. How ironic, huh? The religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. You know what sent them over the edge? When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That's what sent them. Not only did they plot to kill Jesus, but then they plotted to kill who? Lazarus. If you want to discredit anybody, get rid of the evidence. Right? Here's Lazarus, who was dead for 3 days. And in the words of the King James Bible, he stinketh, right? Being raised back to life again. What a picture of who we are. Dead in sin and alive in Christ. But you see, that didn't take a conquering warrior for our political enemies. That took a Messiah who needed to save us from ourselves. It's a big difference. The Pharisees were more concerned about their own popularity, power, and influence. They saw Jesus as a threat to their power and influence. I have to laugh today because if Jesus is no longer a threat, why are so many people offended by that name? If an atheist doesn't believe in God, why is the name of Jesus evoking them outrage? No, Jesus is still alive. And he's only a threat to those who won't acknowledge him as the King of Peace, as the Lord and Savior, as the true Messiah. There's a second observation here, is that Jesus did in fact come as the King of Peace. Jesus came to end the war between us and God. Isn't that boggles my mind. We're the ones that started the war. God didn't. We started it. And God sends his son not only to end a war, but to die so that we can have peace finally with God and peace in our hearts. Whoa. Our rebellion and sin causes this great rift between us and God. We cannot do anything in and of ourselves to end that war. Jesus had to do it for us. And not only did he have to do it for us, he had to do it in my place. Jesus, the Son of God, is the only one who could bring peace between us and a holy God. This could only be accomplished through the cross. Sin had to be atoned for, paid for. And the only payment was God's holy Son to take on your sin and mine, to pay the penalty. What did Jesus say? We're going to talk about this Friday night more. But what did Jesus say? His last breath, well, one of his last words on the cross, it is what? Finished. Finished once and for all. Paid in full. The debt is paid in full. All we needed to do is receive that by faith. Peace. Jesus atoned for your sin and mine. All we need to do is to repent and trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Very quickly, here's the questions I want to raise for you this morning. Do we long for peace in our hearts? Then in faith and repentance, receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the first step. Do we desire peace in our families? That's a crucial question these days, right? Do we desire peace in our families? Listen to this. Then by faith, with the power of the Holy Spirit and under the authority of the Word of God, let the King of Peace rule in the hearts of husbands, wives, and children. We need more of that, don't we? Do we want our church to influence the community for the glory of God? Then we need to let the King of Peace rule in our congregations. Listen to me. This country has gone its course, which is a bad one, very quickly because of the breakdown of the family. We need strong families again. And that can only happen through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Strong families make what? Stronger churches. Stronger churches then have an influence in the community, where we can, by faith, start to have an influence in people's lives out there. We need to understand that true peace is only possible when the King of Peace rules in our hearts, the hearts of men and women. I can't change anybody, nor can you. You may think you can. You can't. Only God can. And that can only happen through the grace and love of the King of Peace. True peace can only be possible if it takes the hearts of men and women and transforms them from the inside out. Only Jesus offers this peace. Listen to me. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. This peace isn't going to come from Washington, D.C. This peace isn't going to come from Trenton. This peace isn't going to come from a mayor or anybody else. This peace can only come from the one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. We desperately need the peace of Christ in our hearts. The question for today is, are we willing to let the King of Peace rule in our hearts by faith? Are we willing to do that?
Yes.
If we do, then I think we would have less conflicts in ourselves. If we do, I think we would have better outcomes to conflicts within families. If we do, then I think we would have better church families. And if we do, listen to me, and I also believe this with my whole heart, when we are being obedient, and that's not a bad word, when we are being obedient by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to God and His Word, and we go forth as a church family, A small church can turn the world upside down for the glory of God. Because remember, Jesus did it with 12 ragtag disciples. And I can tell you I'm more ragtag than they were. Have you met the King of Peace? If you don't know him, I'd be glad to talk with you after the service. All you need to do is turn from the way that you're going and in faith, turn towards the cross and say, Lord, Jesus, I know you died for my sin on the cross 2,000 years ago, my place. I want to receive you as my King of Peace today. And so, that's what Palm Sunday is all about.